At the end of this month, Bernard Madoff will appear in federal court in Manhattan to be sentenced for fraud, perjury, and the other crimes related to his multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme.
It has been 6 months since Bernie Madoff's arrest, but the anger his victims feel is still palpable and raw. They have sent 113 letters and emails to the U.S. District Court judge handling this case.
That judge is Denny Chin, and it isn't the first time he's experienced the courtroom drama of a high-profile case. Chin is part of a group of lawyers who bring historic trials back to life by reenacting them. Studio 360's Julie Burstein has the story.
A couple of years ago, a friend of mine who's a lawyer told me about a legal retreat he'd just attended. Mostly, he said, it was pretty boring. But he saw one thing he couldn't stop talking about, a play based on the trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, performed by lawyers.
Will you tell us what happened to Mr. Greenglass after you handed the sketch and the descriptive material concerning the atom bomb to Mr. Rosenberg?
The Rosenbergs were accused of passing atomic secrets to the Soviets in the 1940s. David Greenglass, who was Ethel Rosenberg's younger brother, had already pleaded guilty to conspiracy, and he gave the testimony that sent his sister to the electric chair.
And they brought it into the living room, plus a typewriter.
Who did the typing, Mr. Greenglass?
Ethel did the typing.
The play my friend saw was written by Judge Denny Chin and his team from an organization called the Inn of Court. It brings judges and lawyers together to present educational programs, often on very technical legal issues. But Judge Chin's team likes to take a creative approach.
Judge Chin had done the Lizzie Borden trial the year before to great acclaim.
Attorney Lee Richards was part of the team that crafted the Rosenberg play.
We thought it would have resonance today because the trial occurred during a time of national trauma, a time when the country was very concerned about the threat from the Soviet Union. We thought we'd learn a little bit about how the country behaved back in the 50s that might be relevant to the way we're trying to deal with terrorism today.
We got the actual original transcript. There were pencil marks on it falling apart. I had it. I didn't want it to leave my chambers.
That's Judge Denny Chin.
Various members of the team would come by chambers and go through the transcript because that was part of the difficulty, was taking this 2,500-page transcript, pulling out pieces that would work, and then putting it into a one-hour, strictly one-hour presentation.
What was your maiden name?
Ethel Greenglass.
In shaping the story, we wanted to tell the story of Ethel.
How many children do you have?
I have two children.
Yeah, I don't think the government ever thought she would ever be executed. The government was really just using her as leverage.
She was offered deals to testify against him.
Lawyer Bennett Kramer was also part of the creative team.
She refused all the way along. She said life wouldn't be living if he died and I lived and I had betrayed him.
And even her kids. Her kids didn't make
Yeah, her kids didn't seem to matter. Clearly, in hindsight, Julius was clearly guilty, but Ethel probably wasn't.
Did you know anything about the charges that had been leveled against her husband by the government in 1945?
There were no charges leveled against her by the government in 1945.
The team also focused on the role of Judge Irving Kaufman in the trial. Toko Sarita plays Judge Kaufman in this performance by the Asian American Bar Association. She's a judge herself in Manhattan Criminal Court.
I found it very disturbing just because he did all the things that you're taught not to do as a judge. You are never supposed to interject. You're never supposed to ask a lot of questions, which may show a bias one way or the other.
Well, what were your own views about the subject matter of the United States having any weapon that Russia didn't have at that time, that is, in 1944 and 1945?
I don't recall having any views at all about that.
Your mind was blank on the subject?
Absolutely.
Usually, in a jury case, it's certainly fine for the judge to ask questions from time to time to clarify, to move things along, but he overdid it by quite a lot.
One of the really shocking things to trial lawyers was that there was lots of discussion in front of the jury about the fact that Ethel Rosenberg had previously taken the Fifth.
And often she invoked the Fifth in response to questions from Judge Kaufman himself, which also is unusual.
And the reply which you typed denied that he was a communist. Is that correct?
I refused to answer on the ground that this might be self-incriminating.
Judge Chin was appointed to the federal bench young, at just 39. He likes his work on the in-of-court team because it gives other lawyers a chance to get to know him outside the courtroom.
Being a judge is extremely isolating. And then when you see people sometimes out in the street, it can be awkward. They don't know whether to call you judge or whether to call you Denny anymore. And the idea is to get everyone to talk. And it's good for the judges. It's good for the lawyers.
In the performance, Judge Chin's team wanted him to assume the role of Judge Kaufman. But he said no. Instead, he chose to portray Julius Rosenberg, who has only one line in the play.
Is there anything defendants wish to say?
No, Your Honor.
The first time in particular, it was really a moving experience for me. I had a feeling of helplessness sitting there. The lawyers point at you and talk about you. And it just certainly brought to mind the many, many times I had sat from up above watching the defendant down below.
I am convinced beyond any doubt of your guilt.
Over the years, it's become clear that Julius Rosenberg was guilty. But in 2001, David Greenglass told a news reporter that he had no memory at all of Ethel typing up the letters, recanting the testimony that had led to his sister's execution on June 19, 1953.
It is not in my power, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, to forgive you. Only the Lord can find mercy for what you have done.
For me, the arc of justice is trying to reach the right result, trying to reach the fair result. And one of the things that our program looked at is whether, in a time of national crisis, suddenly the arc bends and you give. There is so much scrutiny. What happens if you are a patriotic American citizen, you're representing an alleged spy or an alleged terrorist? Do you allow that pressure affect how you run things? I think one of the things the Rosenberg case teaches us is the answer should be absolutely no. And if you suddenly say, given the importance of this case, maybe I should do things a little bit differently, then you're not really following the rule of law.
For Studio 360, I'm Julie Burstein.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg have gone to the electric chair. Julius Rosenberg was pronounced dead at 8:06:45 tonight. His wife Ethel was pronounced dead at 8:16 tonight. They say most noteworthy about the execution tonight was the intense silence.
Judge Denny Chin is scheduled to sentence Bernie Madoff on June 29th. Madoff, who pleaded guilty, faces up to 150 years in jail. Coming up, a mother's struggle with bipolar disorder, set to music.
Didn't I see this movie with McMurphy and the nurse? That hospital was heavy, but this cuckoo's nest is worse.
Tony Award winner Alice Ripley, star of the new musical Next to Normal, just ahead in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC. Stay with us.